What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Jake Wallman here with you on this Friday morning. Preds in action later today. Taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up at 2 o'clock, pregame at 1 o'clock with Max Herz. Brutal loss for the Preds the other night against Philadelphia. They tied it up with 11.4 seconds remaining and then won it in overtime. Preds were in control pretty much the whole game until they weren't and end up with just 1 point in a game they absolutely should have and needed to have. And to help us talk more about the local professional hockey team, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Adam Vingen of DVD to the program. Adam, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you both had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, too. Any Black Friday shopping that you're participating in today?
Not to my knowledge, but the day is young.
That's good. That's good.
I hope so.
Adam, a brutal loss for the Preds the other day against Philadelphia, and it just kind of goes right in line with what the story of this season has been so far. But you threw out some numbers yesterday that I think are even more daunting when you just look at it, the whole picture of it. Just kind of share with us what you found in some of your research and what this means now for the Predators with the all-important date of American Thanksgiving now behind us.
Well, first, I want to be completely honest with our audience. I fell asleep during the third period of the game on Wednesday. And when I woke up, my computer resting on my chest, I thought, well, the Predators surely won that game. So I went to the NHL app and thought to myself, yeah, they'll probably win 2-1 or maybe 3-1 with an empty netter. And when I saw that they lost 3-2 in overtime, I could only help but laugh because I guess I probably shouldn't have been surprised considering how this season has gone. But as you said, Robbie, a game they absolutely should have won. They were in complete control of that game pretty much throughout. But you mentioned some of these numbers I pulled yesterday morning because, you know, I wanted to put everybody in the holiday spirit. So I shoved all of these terrible numbers down their throats before they ate their turkey and stuffing. But just to give you a sense of where the team is on Thanksgiving, they're 31st in the NHL in points percentage. Their 5-on-5 shot quality per 60 minutes has plummeted from 8th in the league last season to 28th in the league so far this season. Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault have combined for 4 points at 5-on-5. They have one goal and one assist each. The Predators have been outscored 23-12 during Brady Shea's 5-on-5 minutes. They have a league-worst winning percentage of .364 when scoring first, after going 35-10-3 last season when scoring first, which is a .729 win percentage. And they have a league-high 7 bench minor penalties. So,
including, I think,
frankly,
3 games in a row with one, by the way.
Does that include the putting the wrong starting lineup on the ice, correct?
Yes.
So, yeah, it has. And by the way, they had 10 bench minor penalties all of last season, and they have 7 already so far this season. So put it all together, and it's the recipe for the most disappointing season in the NHL so far.
So of all of those, Adam, and that's quite a litany there that you just laid out for us, what is the worst or most concerning of all those things, and what is the most fixable or likely to be fixed of those things?
Well, I think two of them in terms of what's the worst, I think two of them go hand in hand. One is I think the thing that's most concerning to me is the shot quality, how they've gone from a top 10 team in 5-on-5 shot quality per 60 minutes to near the bottom of the league. I mean, Could there have been a dip at, you know, year over year? Sure. But to go from a top 10 team to one of the worst teams in the league in that category is pretty shocking to me. And that goes hand in hand with the fact that Stamkos and Marchessault have a combined 4 points at 5-on-5. I mean, special teams has not been this team's problem this season. And I know that UC Saros gave up a regrettable goal the other night against the Flyers, but he's been one of the better goalies in the league. And, you know, I can only imagine where this team would be if not for him. So it really comes down to their 5-on-5 play, which was good last season and is horrible this season. So that's a shock. In terms of which of those things I think they can fix, I mean, maybe make sure that you don't have too many men on the ice every game. I feel like that's a pretty simple fix.
But that's not, but seriously though, that's not gonna, I mean, that's not, it's a bad stat, but like, I guess like Shea, you know, these guys, you know, you talk about Marchessault and Stamkos, talk about them all the time, 5-on-5. What signs are we seeing among these huge acquisitions that it's just an aberration? I mean, is it just too much hockey to even suggest that at this point?
I'm well past the, you know, they're still getting used to their new surroundings thing. That went out the door several games ago. And, you know, Steven Stamkos not being, I mean, I didn't expect Steven Stamkos to be this unproductive at 5-on-5. But there were signs in his final seasons in Tampa Bay that he was becoming a diminishing player at 5-on-5 and was sort of turning into a power play specialist. And I think we've seen that so far here. I mean, I certainly didn't expect the production to fall off the cliff, but there were signs in Tampa Bay that he was becoming less and less of an impact player at 5-on-5. Jonathan Marchessault certainly surprises me. Look, I didn't expect him to score 40 goals again. I mean, he scored 40 goals for the first time in his 11th NHL season. I expected regression to come for Jonathan Marchessault. I didn't expect it to be this bad. And with Brady Shea, it's a good question. You know, I think there was this fear that he was a product of the Carolina Hurricanes defensive system, and that's why he looked so good for so long. And for those who thought that would be a concern, that has played out. In terms of how to fix it, I really don't know. And know that Andrew Brunette has shuffled some of the defensive pairs, and now he's had to do it even more so because of injuries on the back end. But, you know, it's really unfathomable how bad this team has been. Like, even like Robbie, you know, you and I talked a lot about this at the beginning of the season. Like, you could prepare for worst case scenarios with this team. Yep. This far exceeds the worst case scenarios that we discussed.
No doubt. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, naturally, Adam, these discussions typically always end up back to the coach, right? So we heard a lot of that from Predators fans. I know you and Willie had a passionate discussion about that a couple of weeks ago, which was fun to listen to. You know, Barry Trotz, you know, I don't know, you tell me if you disagree, but every time he gets on with Stillman and he's asked about it, it seems pretty staunch in his defense of Andrew Brunette, and it doesn't feel like a move's coming there anytime soon. But, you know, going back to Joe's question of how to fix it, like, it kind of feels like to me right now, Adam, nobody has an answer, and that's a really concerning place to be, I think, with a hockey team.
Yeah, I would say so. I remember way back in the day when I first started out and I was in Washington, when my first season covering the Capitals was the season that Bruce Boudreau got fired around this time of the season. And I remember the last game he coached, it was a game, I believe, in Buffalo, and the Capitals had, you know, stumbled out of the gate and they lost a bad game to the Sabres. And after the game, he was asked a question about how things were going and what he could do to fix it. And he said, "I don't know." And I remember even back then thinking, when a coach says, "I don't know," that's never a good sign.
Yep.
Now, I haven't heard Andrew Brunette say that, but, you know, you look at all of the things that have gone wrong this season, and it does fall on the coach. It's the coach's responsibility to get the best out of his players. And I know Willie and I have argued about this quite passionately, as you alluded to. you know, Willie's point was that how come the blame isn't on the players? Well, of course the blame is on the players, but whose responsibility is it to get the best out of the players? It's the coach's responsibility. And I think Andrew Brunette is a good coach. The history suggests that. His time in Florida, the impact he seemed to have as an associate coach with the Devils, you know, the year after he left, the first year here, the Devils went from one of the best teams in the league to missing the playoffs. Now they had injuries and bad goaltending and such, but he certainly had an impact on that team's success a couple of years ago. So I know that he is a good coach, but he has done a bad job this season. I don't think there's any way around that. And I've heard Barry Trotz every week with Jared. I think Jared has done a good job, you know, sort of pinning Trotz down on certain things. And Trotz has been unequivocal in his support of Andrew Brunette. And quite frankly, I think Andrew Brunette should feel incredibly lucky that his general manager, his boss, is a former coach, because I don't think other GMs would have the same level of patience as to what's going on that Barry Trotz does. And, you know, Barry Trotz has left himself no wiggle room. And if this thing continues to head south, I mean, the shine is going to come off of Barry Trotz a little bit among the fan base. I'm already starting to see that, and I know you are too, Robbie. Like, I know that tends to happen when things go awry, but, you know, Barry Trotz came back. It was like a hero's welcome, and he's done a lot of good things for this team in a short period of time as a general manager. But, you know, if Brunette, if the team struggles and the heat is on Brunette and Barry Trotz continues to be staunch in his support, I mean, it's going to backfire on him too. So it's a tricky situation. I would like to point out, however, that the two teams that have made coaching changes so far this season, the Bruins and the Blues, are a combined 5-1 since firing their coaches.
That is true.
Well, yeah, that's the answer for everybody in this league. Just fire the coach. If you were on the beat, Adam, would you be asking Brunette about his job status on a daily basis?
You make me sound so bloodthirsty.
Let's ask Lavi what he thinks.
Peter, are you going to be fired today?
It's different. It's different when you're around a team every day, like I was back then, versus now where I'm not around as much in terms of being in the dressing room. And I don't get the sense, and Robbie can speak to this better than I can, I don't get the sense that this team has given up on Andrew Brunette or
totally
tuned him out or anything like that. And that's important. Like, I remember vividly the last game that I covered coached by Peter Laviolette, which was their loss in the Winter Classic at the Cotton Bowl.
Yep.
And I remember leaving that dressing room and thinking to myself, it may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow, but I don't think Peter Laviolette's going to be in his job much longer, because when you're around the team every day, you get those sort of spidey senses, so to speak. And, you know, I can't speak to what's going on in this dressing room as clearly, because I'm just not in there every day as I once was, but I don't get the sense that this team has given up on Andrew Brunette, or he's quote unquote lost the room or anything like that. But you spend as much money as this team did in free agency. You bring in the brand name players that you bring in. And look, I remember during the offseason, I said my expectation for this team was to win two rounds. And I remember a couple of people looked at me cross-eyed, and I thought, well, this is an older team. You only have so many shots while they're still all in their prime years, and you can't waste those. And so far, this feels like a wasted season. Things can change, but, I mean, the Predators are going to have to do something that they really struggle to do all season, which is build off good performances. They seem incapable of doing that. So, I mean, it's been a disaster. I mean, there's really no other way to describe it. I mean, as I said, this has been the most disappointing season of every team in the league through, you know, 2 months.
So I hear what you're saying on if Trotz were to, you know, fire Brunette, then, like, the heat would be like more on him then, but the other way around, right? Or,
well, it's not even that. It's just the fact that, I mean,
but
perhaps,
the heat's going to be on him either way, right? I mean, he chose this guy as his coach. I mean, I don't see how firing
and by
him
being
is a
so and by being so unequivocal about it. Like I was texting with Jared yesterday, and David Poile, I remember this quite well. David Poile did an interview with Paul Kaharsky, Chad Withrow, and Jonathan Hutton, all of whom are now wonderful contributors to our station. They used to have him on every week. And I remember it must have been December of 2019, maybe November of 2019. and they asked David Poile if Peter Laviolette's job was any sort of danger. And David Poile said, I do not anticipate making a coaching change at this time. I vividly remember that phrase, at this time. He left himself some wiggle room. Now, it's a different situation. Peter Laviolette had been the coach for several years at that point. Brunette is only in his second season. But at least David Poile gave himself an out. Barry Trotz, in his interviews with Jarrett, has not given himself an out if this thing goes south. And that's sort of my point, is that if this team continues to struggle, Brunette takes the heat, because that's what happens with struggling teams. And then by extension, Trotz is going to take the heat, not for only for the decisions he made in the offseason, which we all celebrated.
Yep.
But because he has been so staunch in his support of his coach, which is admirable. But when fans are upset, they're looking for anyone to blame, and Barry's going to take the brunt of that because he's backed up Brunette so steadfastly.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on what Adam Vingan had to say. Adam, great stuff as always. Hope you have yourself a wonderful Black Friday, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Adam Vingan, our guest on the program. Preds and Lightning coming up later today. It was a brutal loss for the Predators on Wednesday. Got a couple thoughts on that I want to get to, and then we'll react to some of what Adam had to say there as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Appreciate Adam Vingan for being on with us in the last segment. Joe, I'm sitting there on Wednesday night at Bridgestone, and through the first about 35 minutes of that game, I'm like, wow, Preds look pretty good, man. Like, they scored two in the first period. They had the puck for basically the entire second period. I mean, legitimately, Philadelphia really struggled to get out of their own end. And yet, Predators could not get past, like, that two-goal mark. They had a couple other chances in the third where they couldn't convert. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in a situation where you've got a one-goal lead, and Philadelphia has pulled the goalie, and they're making a push 6-on-5 to try to tie the game. And they get basically just like a broken play through the middle of the neutral zone that Couturier throws on net. Morgan Frost, like, basically wound up full stride in the D zone and just catapulted through the neutral zone, got to the middle of the ice. It was deflected once by Travis Sanheim and then double deflected by Frost and went past Saros. And with 11.4 seconds remaining, you went from what seemed like a pretty sure win about halfway through the game to, oh boy, we're going to overtime. And then shortly into overtime, you lose the game 3-2. So while you did get a point in the standings, that is not necessarily a point, Joe, that you walk away with and say, yeah, we got a point. Like, there are some of those. Like, sometimes you get shelled in a game and you walk out of there with a point and it's like, yeah, we'll take that one.
Right.
That was not one of those on Wednesday.
You had to have both.
It was one of those losses that feels just like, number one, a microcosm of the way the season has gone, and number two, just totally deflating. I am very interested to see how they respond from that today.
Adam talked about, you know, Spidey sense, going back to the days of you guys were you were there too, right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Winter Classic down there. What about yours right now for, like, this team after that loss? Like, do you think that's an especially tough one to get over for these guys?
I thought it was heading in there. Roman Josi did not agree with that. Roman Josi was pretty happy with the way that they played.
Their game.
Yeah. So
it's just a little late to like your game in losses.
Right. That's kind of where I'm at. It's a little bit late to like your game in losses. And now look, they did have the puck a lot. I think some of that was, quite frankly, given who they were playing in the game too. Like, I don't think Philadelphia is very good. So it's a little bit different today. You got Tampa and you got Minnesota tomorrow. Both those teams have been pretty good. So you got that you got to deal with. Like, Ryan O'Reilly was typical Ryan O'Reilly of dejected after a loss and then put every ounce of blame on himself because he didn't, you know, he only scored one goal
right,
in that game.
Right.
So that's who we talked to. It was Roman Josi and Ryan O'Reilly after the game. So I didn't get the sense from those two that it was like just total disaster. But what I said to Adam earlier, I'm starting to get a pretty good sense of, which is not a good place to be. I agree with Adam. Like, I don't think they're tuning out the coaching staff. I don't think that, like, Andrew Brunette has quote-unquote lost the room or anything like that. But I do think everybody in that room right now is searching for answers and has no idea how to get out of it. And that is I don't really know what you do with that. Like, that's a tough spot to be in. Like, this is one thing, and I think it's a little bit more explainable and easier to just kind of brush past if it's 5, 6, 7, 10 games in. I mean, we're 20-something games in now. Like, it's a pretty significant way into the season. And right now, they're just – Adam laid the numbers out. I've said for a couple weeks now, it's not just the record that's concerning. It's everything else that goes into the record. They're a bad hockey team right now.
Yeah, like, it adds up that they have this record. Yeah. This record is what they should be based on all the numbers, other than, like, you know, again, special teams. But the shot quality stat. So how do you analyze that? I mean, to me that means that they aren't getting to the hard areas enough. Yeah. They aren't getting the odd man rushes like they did last year. What else?
I also think it means you're not having the puck enough. Like, to their credit, last year they had the puck a pretty good amount. And this year, with the exception of a couple games, and by the way, Wednesday was one of them, they had the puck a lot, they just aren't having the puck anywhere near enough. Like, there's too many, you know, Laviolette used to refer to them as one and dones.
Yeah.
Like, they got a lot of one and dones right now where maybe you're getting a shot in off the rush.
And then you're
right, and it's going right back the other way. You're not sustaining much zone time. And then, quite frankly, this has been a problem all year, and I think you run into some of this when you're struggling to score. Sometimes you struggle to score so much that you look for, like, this perfect play. And, you know, Philadelphia did a good job of blocking shots the other night. I think the Preds had, like, 67 shot attempts, which is a pretty good amount. But still, like, there were still plays where, like, Marchessault got one right in the middle of the slot and then looked to pass it off, and I was just like, what are you doing? Shoot the puck. Novak had one right in the middle. I mean, right between the dots, and I was like, shoot it! Just shoot the puck! So there's some of that going on, too, that's really tough to understand.
Yeah, passing up shots, trying to get the great shot. It's just like, you know, you lose like this, and you know, we talk about gripping the stick, and it's just it totally discombobulates your decision-making sometimes, yep. Right? I mean, it's – and if you're all searching for answers and there's not a clear thing that needs to – clear one thing or two things that need to be picked up, then they can just be like plugging one hole and then the next one springs open.
Well, they can't score. Like, that's, you know, some of that is exactly what we're talking about. Like, they don't have the puck a whole lot. They're just doing a lot of things that are leading to them getting caught the other way. But, I mean, they're scoring like 2 goals a game right now. Like, it's not good, which is, you look at this roster on paper and it makes you wonder how that's even possible. But that's what it's been all year to this point. They haven't been able to score.
You know, it's like they'll have the random good game, you know, Winnipeg, great example. Yes, Winnipeg on a back-to-back, backup goalie, but still, right, that's a good performance. You know, if they got 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, they'd still be behind the 8 ball, you know, in terms of the numbers, but, like, you know, that would still, to me, like, potentially change things a lot, but it's just like, how do you have confidence at this point that they can even do that?
They are the worst offensive team in the league. 2.35 goals per game. That is 32 out of 32. Think about having that conversation heading into the season with this roster.
Well, like, when they made all the moves in the offseason and someone read that stat off, like, here's a true stat from November 29th. Well, then I would say, oh, so Stamkos, Forsberg, how many of these guys got hurt early in the season or just aren't on the ice?
Right.
Must be a whole slew of them, right?
Right. Nope, 2.35 goals per game. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 9:45. Pigskin Pick'em coming up a little bit later in the program, which I believe I did quite well last week, if memory serves me correctly. So we'll see if we can continue
that. You did.
That's good. Good to know. Deanna Witter, Chief Revenue Officer of the Nashville Predators, will join us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. The Nashville Predators back in action today, taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning this afternoon. 2 o'clock puck drop, 1 o'clock pregame here on 1025-1063, the game. Back-to-back for the Preds coming up this weekend. At home today against Tampa, on the road against the Minnesota Wild tomorrow. And to help us talk a little bit more about the Predators, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Deanna Witter, Chief Revenue Officer of the Nashville Predators. Deanna, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. First off, a very happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Did you have a significant amount of turkey yesterday? How'd it go?
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you all as well. I did. I had like a 2-hour coma after the Lions game. That's how much turkey I had.
Yeah, me too. I was right there with you. So obviously looking forward to the game coming up today. I'll be heading over there after the show is done. But also, big day for Predators fans today as well. Gold Friday, the biggest sale of the season. Tell us what Predators fans can take advantage of and expect today with Gold Friday.
That's right. We turn Friday black to gold today, which is so significant for us and all of our fans and everybody looking for great deals with the Preds and everything that we touch. And so today you can get tickets to select Preds games for 25% to 50% off, which is an incredible deal. So make sure to go to nationalpredators.com to lock into those deals. You can also check out those deals as well on the National Predators official app. If you're coming out to a couple more games than single games, also recommend the Hockey Holiday Pack, which is a 3-game pack that we launched today as well. It's brought to you by the Loveless Cafe. You get 3 incredible games, $25 Loveless Cafe gift card with a Skip the Wait Cafe Pass, which I know is needed at the Loveless Cafe, and a $10 Nash Cash for that pack. So looking for a great gift. That Hockey Holiday Pack is an incredible opportunity.
Well, and also, Deanna, if you're a Preds fan heading out to the game today, some team store deals that you could take advantage of as well. Deals for Bridgestone Arena like Monster Jam and Globetrotters, WWE. So really things that you're looking for from no matter who you are, some deals that people could take advantage of today on Gold Friday.
That's absolutely right. Thank you for mentioning that. So, yeah, at the National Locker Room today, some very significant deals. If you're out shopping right now, you can get deals. You can get 40% off all items in the store, excluding jerseys. From 10 to 11 is 30% off, and then 11 to 12 is 20% off, and after that's 10%. But if you are a Smashville Loyal, which is our season ticket holders, you get 50% from 9 a.m. to 12. So great opportunity there at the Nashville Locker Room if you're looking for gear and to gear up for today as well as the rest of the season. And then Bridgestone Arena offers some significant offers there. We have offers, to your point, on events like Monster Jam, Globetrotters, WWE, PBR. We also have, for our clients looking for more of a premium experience, we also have discounts on suites and some of our more higher-end products at the arena and experiences, and groups as well, 20% off on group opportunities if you're looking to bring out a group and to celebrate with a group of individuals at a game.
So, Deanna, for those listening who hear about, you know, the Smashville Loyal experience and say, you know what, I'm interested in that, tell us a little bit more about that. What all does that entail, and what are some of the Smashville Loyal experiences?
Yeah, so Smashville Loyal is the official program of our season ticket holders. And so it's a year-round engagement program and platform where our Smashville Loyal, our most loyal fans, obviously, are able to secure the best seats to the best games. They're able to have discounts you get exclusive discounts for concessions and team shop. And then what we added this year, which we're really excited about, and we've seen a lot of great engagement, is our events and our access components. And so we have Trotz Talks, and so you get some exclusive opportunities to hear from Barry Trotz himself about the team and some of the things that he's working on with the team. We just had this incredible event last month, our Smashville Loyal Golf Scramble, where we got to go to the Hermitage Golf Course, had a great time with our fans there, movie day, skating opportunities. We had access to Beer Fest. And so it really gives our Smashville Loyal, our most loyal fans, some really great access and benefits when you're a part of our season ticket platform.
Golf Scramble, have you seen Sean Henry on the golf course? Does his swing look good? How would we rate it? What does that look like?
I'm sure he's listening. He's a great golfer.
Oh, that's very well done. Very well done there. Well, it's a Gold Friday today. Again, if you're going out to the game, it starts at 2 o'clock, pregame at 1 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Lots of things that you can take a look at for Gold Friday. Again, you can find those on NashvillePredators.com as well. Deanna, really appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me. Everybody have a wonderful day. We'll see you at Bridgestone Arena.
Absolutely. Deanna Witter, Chief Revenue Officer of the Nashville Predators, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. I like the idea there, going from Black Friday to Gold Friday, Joe. Good stuff there.
Yeah. Is Sean Henry good at golf?
I don't know.
Is anybody, I mean, someone, or like, is Like, is Chase golfed with?
I don't know that I have ever golfed with Sean Henry. I do think he has been around in a tournament that I've been in before, but I don't know that I've ever actually golfed with him. So yeah, I'm going to assume he's good.
Yeah. That was a good answer by Deanna there.
It was. Yeah. It was very good there. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Preds in action today, taking on Tampa Bay. By the way, did you see, so Tampa was playing on Wednesday night as well, 15 games in the NHL on Wednesday. And so Charlie Lindgren, who's the goalie for Washington, turns around, tries to clear the puck. He comes out of his net and fires it into his own net. Goalie fired the puck into his own net. I've never seen this happen before in the NHL.
I've never seen that. That's
and they won the game.
Own goal.
Yeah, like Braden Point got credited for the goal because he was the last one to touch it for Tampa. And it was the hat trick goal for him. So his hat trick came by the goalie turning around and just firing the puck back into his own net.
Wow.
I'll have to pull the video up for you.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's unbelievable. Like, yeah. I've never seen anything like it. And the fact that they were able to come back and win after that was pretty funny. And I saw the post-game video from the Capitals.
Oh, my gosh.
Spencer Carberry was like, hey, man, bailed your teammate out there. It's good stuff. Because, man, that was something. Lindgren sitting on the bench by his locker. And he's like, hey, yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Thanks for bailing me out for shooting the puck into my own net.
The Carberry expression on his face close up after the goal is pretty spectacular here. He's just like, what? The Lightning fans are really, really enjoying that play. My goodness. I mean, maybe like in the days of black and white grainy footage, oh my gosh. Just backhands right in there, man.
Never seen that happen in an NHL game before. Like, I'm sure it probably has. I just don't recall seeing
like
one.
It hit the center of the net.
It was right in.
Like, it wasn't like
it's a great shot.
Like he just sort of it hit the post and trickled in, which would still be crazy. Like he dead on centered that thing.
Great shot.
Wow.
Great shot. Nice backhand in the
That's a good game to find a way to win.
So, I mean, I have pretty high confidence that UC Saros not going to do that today. So, Braden Point, your hat trick, if you get one today, is not coming as easy, baby. You're going to have to actually earn the hat trick this time.
Yeah.
Rather than having the goalie just fire one in there.
Don't challenge him.
Yeah. But, hey, Stamkos played great in Tampa Bay, first time around, going up against his former team. It's a little bit different today because second time you're doing it and it's not in Tampa. So, it's not like this is going to be like some majorly emotional game for him today. But I do expect there to be a little bit of extra juice with him today.
Well, and look, I mean, every time they play, they got a lot of crap down there for what they, including the decision to go with him and, you know, the Gensel as the sort of, I mean, you know, there's a lot of, like, what is this guy doing down here after that? And so, I mean, I think it's got to be a big deal for Tampa whenever they get to play him too, right, to sort of, here you go, see, like, look at how we are, and look at what's going on. Not that everybody's blaming Stamkos, but the idea here was that he was going to be a huge boost for this team and that they were going to be a contender.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, the game. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant here on 1025-1063, the game. Usually it's 7:45. It's now 9:45. Throwing a little different schedule at you today.
How are those shoppers? How are we doing out there, shoppers?
Any fights yet?
Yeah. Any Cabbage Patch Kids causing serious bodily harm?
Have you ever gone?
You wouldn't be old enough to remember
that one. You ever gone Black Friday shopping?
I mean, I've gone to the mall. We're doing a family movie today. We're gonna go see Wicked. So I've gone to the mall for that,
okay,
or maybe something like, oh, yeah, we got to get that. But, like, the idea of, like, ooh, let's get up early. And, like, yeah. I mean, it's just.
I've done it a couple of times.
It sounds like going, like, hey, sign me up for some dental work.
It was fun the first time I did it because I was, like, 17 or whatever. And okay. I was like, cool. Yeah, let's go do it. I did it again, like, 5 years ago. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing on the earth. I'll never do this again. And I haven't. And I won't.
Yeah. The thing is, it's like, I understand. Look, my inbox is completely flooded with sales stuff. So I understand, like, there are good sales. Like, there
sure
are. But you can do that online now, right? Like, you
yes
don't actually have to go in And I'm typically someone who is – I'm in favor of, like, going out among other humans and, you know, not just being online. But this seems like a good online thing.
Well, a lot of people's Black Friday stuff started, like, 2 weeks ago. So it's kind of
– Yeah, right.
Black Friday is now, you know, a month long.
Right, right. Yeah.
Anyway,
but I know
– I interrupted your
rant. No, I mean, it's fine. I don't – I Jackson says, shouldn't this segment be called the Rocks Rant? I will say that someday when I don't hear that clip, like, all the time at work – I will. I mean, that is a wonderful moment from Scott Stapp. You know, like he actually said Rocks Road,
and was legitimately.
Yeah, just
he thought that's
be,
what it was.
Yeah, yeah. And he asked though. He politely asked, "Is that right?"
Did I say that right?
No worries, Haley.
Thank you.
The Haley one, no worries, was fantastic too. We can get into something else. But I am going to use this time to just point out, especially if there are any Alabama-Auburn fans. But you know what, Tennessee fans, this is for you too. Has anybody noticed that the SEC is a better basketball conference than it is a football conference?
It is right now.
I mean, the Iron Bowl is happening, and the Iron Bowl is always going to be the Iron Bowl. And so that's great. And, you know, Alabama has a hope. They have a hope as a – to try to get in as a three-loss team. They need a lot of help, so they're still not dead. And Auburn is trying to get to a bowl game. Auburn is 5-6, second year of Hugh Freeze. Ready. But, I mean, the Iron Bowl, it's always going to take over that state. It's going to be huge in that state. Really, nationally, it's not relevant.
Right.
I mean, Iron Bowl is – like, yeah, again, Alabama is relevant because Alabama is – it's the greatest dynasty we've seen in this sport, and it's the first year without Nick Saban, and so it's always a big story. But it's not really a nationally relevant game. Auburn basketball is the best team in college basketball. Jahni Broome is the best player in college basketball. And I just really feel sorry for anybody in the past week, and it continues, by the way, today and through the weekend, and there's amazing games next week. But I really feel sorry for anybody who hasn't watched any college basketball this last week. You've watched none.
Zero.
No Maui? Dude, not there's some awesome games all over the place.
I don't care.
Ugh.
Not until March.
I feel bad for you.
That's okay.
Do. I feel so bad
Look,
for
I
you.
Fully recognize this could be a 100% of me problem. I get it.
It's just been a ton of great games, but one big takeaway is like Auburn, I think, is the best team in college basketball. They're amazing. If you're an Auburn fan – yeah, you hope to beat Bama tomorrow and get to 6-6, but you should be really excited because Auburn basketball should be ranked number one. Anybody who has a clue who votes in that poll who doesn't rank Auburn number one over Kansas didn't watch any basketball last week. But you know who might be as good as anyone for number two? Alabama. You know who might be the most talented basketball team in college basketball? Alabama. Like, this might be the best two teams in college basketball. They might play each other for the national championship. They're both, to me, going to be one seeds, and I think Tennessee could be two, by the way, but we'll see. They have not played the same schedule as those two have. Those two have played unbelievable schedules and more huge ones to come. Bama at Carolina, Auburn at Duke. It's been fantastic already. College basketball fans, I hope you're with me. It's been amazing. And Auburn, Alabama fans, this is where it's at, man. In men's basketball, you have two elite programs. In football, you have – a program that might that will for sure Auburn go 5 straight years without being ranked at the end of the year.
Yes.
Last time that happened was the 40s, okay? And Alabama.
Is that right? Wow.
And Alabama, you know, we'll see. I'm not ready to shovel dirt on Alabama with Kalen DeBoer, but obviously following Nick Saban is not a great idea if you're a coach.
Yes.
So fine. Big game, all that. But get excited about your basketball teams, folks. If you're an Alabama or Auburn fan who is not into your college basketball right now, like that's all I have is, I guess, sympathy. I'm a little bit angry at you, but mostly I just feel bad for you.
You know, I lied to you. I did watch the second half of Tennessee and Louisville a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I did watch. So I have watched some college basketball. Does that make you feel better?
Well, I'll take anything I can get. Tennessee locked them up. And by the way, that Louisville
problem
team,
with some of these Maui games is they start at 11 o'clock at night, and I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah, some do, but I mean, like the championship
some
game,
do, like all, one,
right? The Auburn, yeah, they go all day. You got 4 3-days in a row all day long. Today you got some Atlantis actually going on. Louisville, by the way, destroyed Indiana. They were about to beat Indiana by 40. It ended up only being like 28. But that Louisville team is playing for the championship in Atlantis, and that win for Tennessee is very nice right now because Pat Kelsey is going to make Louisville a relevant program again.
Hey.
We could talk college basketball all day.
I mean, I heard the Wallman and the boys from Force Company talking about it.
I came in right when we got here. I was
Connor
like,
Newt was just smiling the whole time.
He's coping with Pope.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Coping with Pope. Pope's good, man. Pope's going to be good for them.
I will say one thing, you know, again, look, I'm full-fledged college football right now. It's hard for me to pay attention to anything else right now. But I will say, I have seen people have already started yelling about John Calipari up there in Arkansas already.
Yeah, Illinois kicked their butt. Yeah. So, yeah.
He got on there. Was that yesterday or the day before?
I think it was yesterday.
He got up there at the podium and was talking about, you know, thank God it's November because, you know, we haven't even had time to scrimmage yet. Like, we had barely got 10 guys out there, can't scrimmage. And all the Kentucky fans were like, yeah, that sounds a little familiar there. It's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it could get...
Maybe try calling the Hogs, turn things around a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe that's the key. And by the way, Matthew Nashville, talking about the Lady Vols, Kim Caldwell, they have the best defense. They are so much fun to watch. They are pressing. She just got a huge recruiting class. So I'm excited about that. And meanwhile, Shea Ralph over here, they lost to Michigan State for their first loss of the season. They did lose their post, Sasha Washington, but... That's a team that, to me, is absolutely going to be in the NCAA tournament. And, yeah, I can keep talking hoops all day, man.
You're like a wind-up toy over here.
That's fine. I get so few opportunities. Maybe that should just be my rant every
day. Just letting you go.
It's my basketball.
Keep going. I'm not trying to stop you. Keep going.
It's basketball.
What else?
It's basketball corner.
How's Izzo doing?
They did beat North Carolina. So, you know, young Brennan was in a bit. They blew it. They let North Carolina force overtime in Maui. And that game was, like, on at, like, 8. It wasn't, like, on at midnight. And they did end up winning, so they're not. So Izzo next week when he comes in for the pre-show meetings.
Yeah, he took today off.
Should be. Yeah, I get it. That's fine. He loves Black Friday shopping. You know, he will hopefully be in a better mood next week.
Every now and then we'll get a text. We hadn't had one in a little bit now, but I'm sure one's coming in the future. Of you guys, like, does Tom Izzo call in and weigh in on your show? Like, you guys.
So how often do you talk to Tom? How often?
Like, is he a part of your pre-show meeting every morning? Like, is this legitimate? Of course it is. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah. And, you know, Narduzzi, he's been a little bit more irascible lately with the first team in, like, a long time to start 7-0 and then lose 4 in a row.
Jackson on the text line says, it's not just you, Robbie. I'm right there with you. Can't do basketball till March. The only sport I don't care about. This is from Jackson on the text line.
So here's the thing. If you just don't like basketball, okay. You know, that's fine. I mean, to me, it's like if you do love the basketball in March – this time of year is such a great – it sets the stage for it because there's all these matchups, you know, obviously teams from different leagues playing each other, right?
Like, I agree. There's the SEC-ACC Challenge coming up, right, which I learned about on Force Company.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, man. Auburn at Duke. Oh, that's a – I'm freaking pumped for that. That might be during our
I'm just trying to see
party.
If I can get another sentence or two out of him. That way we can cover this until late February.
No, this March. I think this is going to be my daily rant now. Hoops, okay. My hoops – Hoops thoughts.
It's the Hoops Update with Rex Road.
Basketball musings.
615-737-1025. We'll have more coming up on the Titans next. Their matchup against the Commanders. Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063 the game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.